Blank Was Here by Jessica Zafra. Alighting from the elevator, Patty remarked how if it weren't for the nurses in their pristine uniforms, St. Martha's wouldn't look like a hospital at all, but some kind of posh health club where matrons tormented themselves at aerobics or dehydrated in steam baths. She half expected young persons of the soft drink commercial variety to come bounding down the hallway, miraculously unsweaty after three sets of tennis. But the only people she saw were a couple of dour-looking nurses and a boy of 14 or 15 sitting on one of the brown sofas in the lobby. The boy's face was blank, as if, Patty thought, as if he weren't really there. She quickened her step and barely missed colliding with a stocky, rather necklace man in a white smock. "Good morning, doctor." "Morning." He granted her a magisterial nod. She noted again how his hair was neatly combed over the bald spots. "Here to fetch Janine," he mumbled. "Sarah," she corrected him. The doctor made an odd little bow in the direction of Sarah's room. They started walking rather ponderously down the hall. Patty cleared her throat. "How is she, doctor?" The doctor passed a hand over his hair. "Fine. She's doing fine." "Is she, cured?"
"Recovered fully, yes." His manner of speech called to mind an anchorman reading from a teleprompter that was either too far or out of sync.
"Could she have a relapse or something?" Patty insisted. The doctor's brows furrowed.
"Well, there is a slight chance that the illness might recur, but in your sister's case, there is a very small probability."
"Nothing to worry about, as long as she reports for weekly consultation."
"What if," Patty started to say, but the doctor had already opened the door to Sarah's room and motioned to the nurse that she could leave.
"Patty!" Sarah got up, dropping the paper back she was reading. She picked it up, closed it, and put it on top of her bed. Then, somewhat belatedly, she gave Patty a hug.
"How are you feeling?" said the doctor.
"Okay."
"Good. Well, I'll be leaving you girls now. Goodbye, Janice."
"Sarah," Sarah corrected him, but she shook his hand anyway. "A grip like a dead fish," Sarah noted after he'd gone.
"So," said Patty, taking in the contents of the room, the creaseless bed, the pale salmon walls. It was a habit of hers, surveying places, memorizing details so she could reconstruct them with perfect clarity in her head. "You ready?"
"Do you mean, am I ready or am I ready?"
"Whatever," said Patty. She picked up the book Sarah had been reading and made a face. "Storms of Passion."
"It's perfect," Sarah declared. "It's so asinine, so dumb. The woman is gorgeous. The man is a hunk. They have the hots for each other, but they don't get it on. The woman thinks he hates her. The man thinks she hates him. Every other page they almost get laid, but someone knocks on the door or something. Real complex. So they breathe heavily at each other and nothing happens until the last chapter. I mean, that's art." Abruptly, she stopped stabbing at the air and her hands fell limply to her sides.
"Are you okay?" Patty asked, squinting at her.
"Of course I'm okay," Sarah scoffed.
"How are you feeling?" Patty insisted.
Sarah puffed up her cheeks, then made a farting noise with her lips. "Everybody asks me that. On average, 8.4 times a day, excluding Tuesdays and religious holidays."
"Okay, okay. You finished packing?"
"Yes." Sarah indicated a lightweight suitcase on the floor next to the bed. "Let's go."
"Yes. Wait, I want to wash my hands."
She disappeared into the washroom. Patty drew the drapes and looked down on the manicured lawn at the gray-smocked patients with their nurses. One nurse was throwing a ball at a young girl who dutifully raised her arms to catch it and missed every time. Patty tapped on the unbreakable glass, which bore the marks of several dozen fingernails. Sarah emerged, wiping her hands on a towel.
"Let's go." She picked up her suitcase.
Patty abandoned the window and moved towards her.
"Let me carry that." Will you quit fussing over me? This is not the orthopedic ward, you know. I have both arms, both legs. Patty touched Sarah's arm rather gingerly, as if the arm would crinkle into ash. I just don't want you to tax yourself. Sarah isn't taxing herself, Sarah lisped. I'm not trying to kill myself, if that's what you're worried about. Sarah opened the door. Are we leaving or what? All the way to the elevator, the suitcase banged rhythmically against Sarah's leg. The sound ground on Patty's nerves. It made her think of bodies being clubbed. Sarah appeared not to mind. She stopped in front of the elevator and contemplated the buttons on the wall. After an inordinately long time, she lifted a finger and pushed the down button. Don't you want to say goodbye to anyone? Patty suggested. You mean so long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye? God, I hate Julie Andrews. When she starts singing that the hills are alive, I wish they'd open up and swallow her. But she put her suitcase down anyway and walked over to the boy on the sofa. Hey, Robert, said Sarah, patting him on the back. The boy blinked, not so much to acknowledge her presence as to relieve eyes that had been staring too long. Hey, real sociable sort. She chewed on an imaginary carrot. Nyeh, what's up, Doc? Rabbit season? I don't see any rabbits. You don't like Bugs Bunny, huh? Let's try something more classical. She stretched her arms and paced before him, rubbing her hands together. Out, damn spot. Out, I say. Then she stopped. Bye, Robert. Or as they say in English, ciao. Then she resumed her post by the elevator. Friend of yours? Said Patty. Instantly, she realized how stupid her question was, but it was too late to swallow it. Yep. Finally, the elevator doors opened, and they stepped into the box. Come along, Leo, said a nurse, taking the boy's hand as the door slid shut. Sarah watched the numbers over the doors. I like elevators, she announced. Patty raised her eyebrows. Why? They're so elementary. Down, up, down, everything reduced to the vertical. My great ambition is to be an elevator person on a 200-story building. One day the elevator gets unhinged, goes past the 200th, and keeps on going. What do you think? I don't know, said Patty. I don't feel anything for them. I just ride them, you know. I like them, Sarah said. She smiled happily. I'm treating you to lunch, Patty said, putting on her seatbelt. Gasp, said Sarah. Lunch? What's that, some barbaric ritual? Patty ignored her. What do you want? Seafood? Pasta? Japanese food? Sarah scrunched up her face. Raw fish, onions, and seaweed, she chanted. How do we know the Japanese eat sushi? How do we know it's not a trick they're playing on gullible foreigners? Maybe it's a plot to give everyone tapeworm. When we're all in the hospital, banzai, they take over. Look at that, she said suddenly. What, said Patty. The trees. You know, large, leafy things. I think that I shall never see a poem, lovely Azza. She rolled up a magazine that was lying on the dashboard and looked at Patty through the paper telescope. Yes, we are, definitely, she intoned. Definitely what, said Patty. Tense. I'm not tense. Why should I be tense? Wondering if I'm really cured. What, Patty sputtered. I don't know about cured. I mean, who's to say who's normal and who's nuts? Who's to say televangelists don't really talk to God in their spare time? Are we real or are we extras in someone's comic strip? Is that Alan Funt with his camera? Sarah twisted the dials on the radio, but didn't turn it on. I'm not going to attack you, I can guarantee that. But only because we have the same chromosomes. Go on, ask me the question, Sarah said as the suburbs hurtled past. Question? Is there an echo in here? The question. What is the square root of 2? Who was the president of Nauru? Why'd you go nuts? I know this place where they serve really good tekamaki. I'll tell you anyway, Sarah said. First day of law school. I get there at exactly 8. People are milling in the lobby. I don't know anybody, but hey, I figure, if I see one person who looks possible, if I might have something to say to this person besides, where's the bathroom? and this person might have something to say besides, third door from the corner, we'll talk. But I didn't see anybody. I saw people who just gravitated together, because they were the same. So I'm the alien, fine. Someone told me to fall in line. I fell in line. I signed my name. I let myself be herded into a classroom. I started feeling queasy. I hate being in large groups. I can't breathe. They started playing this stupid getting to know you game. I tried to be nice. I smiled till my face hurt. 10,000 speakers told stupid jokes and everybody laughed. And pep talks. Yay, team. Go, go, go. You're all going to be just like us. I choked. I was nauseous. I felt like 2 dozen roaches were crawling over me. I went to the John, and there it was, emblazoned on the wall. Linda was here. I freaked. I don't understand why people have to write blank was here on the walls of public toilets. It's not the practice I'm opposed to. It's the triteness. It's so goddamn banal. They could have written sonnets, mock epics, obscene limericks, but what did they write? Blank was here. Do they have such doubts about their existence that they have to reassure themselves in the John? Is their consciousness so tenuous? I piss, therefore I am. When I came to, I was in the hospital, Sarah concluded. Patty, rendered mute, honked at a cow that was crossing the street. Moo, said Sarah. The Japanese restaurant was on the top floor of a commercial building which housed a bank, several real estate firms, brokerages, a radio station, and companies which dealt in vacuum cleaners and water purifiers. It was a big favorite among upwardly mobile junior executives on the verge of the promotion and nouveau riche matrons on their way to their weekly facial. At the next table, 2 young men in pinstripes compared columns of numbers, and at another, a middle-aged woman in a leather miniskirt. If her hemline were any higher, it would go into orbit, said Sarah, digging into her shrimps, was putting away several kilos of fish amidst a sea of shopping bags. Waitresses in obis traded gossip in a language that was not Japanese. While Sarah finished her second dessert, Patty, who had abstained, subjected the restaurant to her usual scrutiny. The woman in the leather mini was joined by a woman whose pants appeared to have been welded on. The first woman emitted a yelp of delight, stood up, and gave the new arrival a resounding smack on the cheek, leaving a crimson smear. The women sat down, and in a voice which carried clear across the room, welded pants discussed her recent trip to Sheboygan, Wisconsin, where she had visited her daughter who had married an American. Very well-to-do, she emphasized, and was now the proud possessor of a green card. The woman went on to describe the objects recently acquired by her daughter. A washer-dryer, a portable sauna, a food processor. Patty excused herself. She had to wash her hands. She blotted her lipstick with a sheet of tissue paper and examined her reflection. Her nose was shiny. She extracted her compact and rectified the flaw. She was on her way out when she noticed the word scratched on the door. Sharon was here. She stared at the words for some time. Then she took out her ballpoint pen, and as she scratched off the words, a knot formed in the pit of her stomach.